Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Monday Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, and it's the 1st of April. And I'm recording at 9:43 p.m., and that is British summertime here in sunny London. Well, 1st of April, April Fool's Day, and it started off looking like a repeat of the first day in the previous quarter. In other words, first market day in the previous quarter. In other words, January 2nd. And we had selling throughout the Asia-Pacific region. The only exception were tiny gains by two of China's mainland indices. And Japan was down 4.5%, I believe. So on a stronger stronger yen. So big hits there. And Europe swooned, was down very, very sharply. But then Wall Street proved that it was not going to be a repeat of the January experience, or January 2nd experience, because it recovered from its losses and actually closed with gains of 0.2 points for the Dow and the S&P 500, and over 0.9 percentage points higher for the NASDAQ Composite Index. So that looks good on the charts, having started at a low level, albeit that the charts are up in resistance and overbought here on a short-term basis. Now, what happened? What pushed Wall Street up? Well, the first point that was steadied the market slightly. People were a little bit concerned about the employment report, but it came in much in line with expectations. But the concern was that a lot of the jobs were of a part-time nature. And that was felt that, I think quite logically so, that it would not cause the Fed to move to raise interest rates later this month. And then, so Wall Street was just sort of hovering around the small losses to break even territory. But then the manufacturing report came out, and that was really quite positive because it broke, or at least for the month of February, because what it did is it broke the string of seven consecutive monthly declines. Now, it also pushed that index back above the 50 level, and I can give you the exact level, I believe. And let me just see, apologies for the delay, see if I find this here. The Supply Management's Index climbed to 51.8 from 49.5. It was the March figure. It was the March figure that I quoted, which was higher. And the Management's Index climbed to 51.8 from 49.5 in February. And above 50, that 50 is the dividing line between growth and contraction. Now, that helped Wall Street for sure, and it's also very important because below 50, as it had been, after seven consecutive months to the downside, that was worrying because it was sort of recession territory. Push back above 50, even though it's only 1 month's data, but it's encouraging because it has at least postponed the prospect of recession. And I think as far as stock markets are concerned, if Wall Street manages to get through this year without moving into recession, that's going to keep the stock market far higher than it would be if it were to slip into recession. That's an obvious point. So Wall Street's doing rather well relative to most other stock markets around the world, although New Zealand is still in the pole position. It's been very strong. Now, looking elsewhere in here on today's action, and indeed this week's action, U.S. bond yields incredibly low, as I've mentioned in every one of the audios this week. And despite that rally on Wall Street, the U.S. 10-year, just a few moments ago, after hours, it was at 1.77%. 1.77%. Now, that indicates one of two things, and it's either an extremely cautious view by a lot of U.S. Investors who just don't trust the stock market and don't trust the global economy and U.S. growth prospects. The other possibility, and there'll certainly be some of that, but the other possibility is that what we are seeing is a lot of buying from overseas participants. I don't know which is the correct answer to that, and if any subscriber does, would welcome an email on the subject. But again, the European bond yields are so low that, do we have German investors, for instance, coming over and buying US treasuries instead because they get a far better yield, even though it's only 1.77%? Well, possibly, and that would be a better explanation than the extremely bearish implications of the low yield in terms of investor sentiment. Okay, nervous. This is still a very nervous environment, although the VIX indicator does not suggest that. So it contradicts what I've just said. It slipped to 13.10, which is in the lower side of its range, right down what we saw in October of last year. Unsustainably low. But a sigh of relief here by investors who are actually participating in the stock market. And what else can I point out to you in here? The dollar index, that's soft. That's important because you take the U.S. situation. Yellen is firmly back in charge, and there was some feeling that the Fed had broken up into different factions here, which were trying to influence what U.S. monetary policy would be. Well, her statement on Tuesday indicated that she was fully back in charge, and that's probably a very good thing here overall. And I think that has not only been supported by some of the evidence that's come through in the reports that I just mentioned earlier on, but also it makes it easier for the Fed to keep the dollar index under control. And today it's just about unchanged at 94.58, still trading after hours in here. Whereas a strong dollar rally would, let alone breaking decisively up above that psychological resistance near the 100 level, a strong dollar index rally would greatly increase the risk of tipping the U.S. economy into recession and compounding problems for other countries around the world. It would lower corporate profits in the process, where if it just stays here below 95, that would be really quite favorable news overall, improving the chances of corporate profits showing a little bit of an upturn, and also contributing to avoiding the risk of U.S. recession. All right. But the nervous market, as I say, certainly reflected by what we saw in some of these markets here today, the precious metals to my chagrin, fell very, very sharply. I feel like I've been on a roller coaster here, twice seeing them up into nice profitable territory on my trades, and then seeing them plunge down. Currently, silver is at 1503, had been down to 1478, and that knocked out a position that had a very marginal in-the-money stop protection. So I've been losing some of my lower-cost precious metals, which isn't ideal. Similarly, we had platinum down over $20, fell back to 952, and it's currently down $18 at 959. Gold also weakened. It was down at 1209 and is trading after hours here at 1222 and change. Well, crude oil weaker in here. Brent 38.68 as I speak, and it had been up over 40 early in the day. And we also have the WTI crude down $1.64, 36.70, and we had I don't know, it looks like we've got a limit down move here in lumber. So commodities definitely getting hit in here today, lumber more so than others. Okay, so what's going to happen here overall? I think it's a nervous market environment, as I've said daily in these audios. I think, though, that as far as stock markets are concerned, that we can avoid the type of bear market that people were fearing back in the first half of February, and we'll just see further ranging for the most part. That's far from a disaster. Just a little bit more sideways ranging, in which case some markets will outperform. Some of the U.S. autonomies remain generally very steady overall, but it's a stock picker's environment for sure. And sideways ranging hopefully would allow evaluations to improve somewhat and build up an eventual platform for another move to the upside. I don't think that will happen in the short term. Could it happen in the lengthy medium term? I think it probably will. But there are a number of provisos there. The dollar index has to stay below 100. The U.S. economy has to avoid recession. We would also be extremely, those would be the two most important things. It would also be extremely helpful if we saw some signs that China's economy was improving a little bit and that the Eurozone situation was not in a meltdown. Overall, I would say it's going to remain a choppy market, a lot of sideways ranging, to repeat the point, stock picker's environment, and I would not pay up for anything. Okay, what about currencies against that background overall? Well, a positive sign is that we are seeing quite an improvement in the currencies that were hit hardest. Now, this isn't going to be any sort of straight line recovery. For instance, commodity producer currencies or countries that are not exclusive commodities, nearly exclusive commodity producers, but countries that do produce some manufacturing and also a lot of commodities, say Indonesia, some of these little tigers, Malaysia. Would be another one. Thailand, their currencies were really in free fall up until a couple of months ago, and they've been improving steadily subsequently. That's a good sign. So we don't have a dominant dollar at this time, and we don't have so many currencies in free fall. That will increase confidence a little bit. And also, there was a lot of concern over an eventual Chinese devaluation. That I would expect that that would occur, or at some point. It may not be a formal devaluation, but that they would let the currency erode a little further. But it's not happening here now. And that may increase sentiment somewhat overall. Regarding Japan's big fall, the yen strength, I think I mentioned that, but yen's trading at 111.63. And since buying Japan on the basis that the yen was going to stay quite weak and that that would be good for the stock market, good for corporate earnings, well, we're seeing a significant reversal of that sentiment overall, and that has weighed on Japan, as you know. And I don't see any evidence yet that the yen is going to weaken again, but I think it will need to cause Japan to start to improve on its overall stock market performance later this year. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, but it isn't going to happen in the very short term, I would say. Looking at oil overall, I think having had that strong rally back up over the $40 level, a lot of short covering involved in that, of course, it's not surprising that we're going to be bouncing around on either side of that price range for possibly a good number of months. That wouldn't surprise me. But I'm more inclined to think that rather than going back down and testing the $30 level and perhaps lower, I'm more inclined to think that as the year progresses, we could see oil pushing up into the mid-40s and possibly up to the $50 level for Brent. Now, why might that occur? Well, I think we'd get further reductions in production, and that's a factor in this environment here right now. I think also we would be closer to some sort of agreed supply deal in the very troubled Middle East. Now, that's not going to occur easily or quickly in all probability, but it would help to reinforce the floor underneath crude oil overall. I do maintain that we need to see somewhat higher commodity prices generally here to help the overall global economy, not least because the producers, countries producing those commodities would see some slight improvement in their economies, which have been in free fall for much of the last year. And looking at agricultural commodities, well, that's usually supply is usually the dominant factor there overall, but so as we saw with some of these markets, if you get any kind of sugar was a good example. If you get any kind of supply disruption, you get significant rallies. And conversely, if we get good crops, then we can get prices moving quite sharply lower overall. So it's very much a weather punt, and I'm not going to try to make the call on what the weather is going to do. It'll be variable as usual. But what I would say is as far as agricultural commodities are concerned, when they're extremely depressed, they are potential recovery. They are definitely recovery candidates of an unspecified time duration. Because if they don't start to recover, we'll get less production. And also demand will increase when they are low. Same for all the other commodities. Extremely low prices causes demand to pick up somewhat and production to be lowered somewhat. And my feeling, which I've been expressing in these Friday audios now for a number of months, is that commodities generally, and commodity indices, are in a trough area and should be moving sideways to somewhat higher over time, and that would certainly increase if we saw a little bit of pickup in GDP growth. But again, I'm not holding my breath on that point either. On a somewhat longer term basis, I think there's a real possibility that we could be in this sort of slow growth, sideways trading environment for a good long time. I think you know the various reasons for that. We had that severe credit crisis recession that really has triggered a deleveraging process, which can last a very long time. And we're still seeing some deleveraging actually continue. And then we have some remarkable new technology breakthroughs and developments and products, but those are also disruptive in terms of their impact on markets. And in other words, you get a faster rate of obsolescence that occurs, and that's certainly unsettling, can increase the unemployment or prevent unemployment from going much lower. And it's, I think, going to remain a somewhat uncertain and choppy environment for the lengthy medium term. Now, on a very long term basis, I'm considerably more optimistic here overall. I think against a background of somewhat lower stock market valuations, moderate pickup in global GDP growth, I think we could see stock markets finally resolving these long sideways trading ranges with further moves to the upside. And the big factors here that I look and have talked about previously, that I look to support a stronger market environment, and I've always said that we would see evidence of it before the end of this decade, and that's still very much my view, but technology is the big factor, and that will help to keep energy prices generally lower than we would have otherwise seen. The issue of who benefits most from those lower energy prices, or the potential for lower energy prices, varies considerably. In other words, the U.S. is in quite a competitive position on that front. Europe, not so much so, having gone a little bit too heavily and prematurely into the renewables field. European energy prices are a headwind for European economies. In the United States, energy prices there are much more of a tailwind. So don't be surprised if we get the U.S. leading an eventual upside breakout environment from the lengthy medium-term trading ranges that I've been talking about among developed economies. There'll be smaller economies that will do even better than the U.S., as is always the case. But among the big markets, I think Wall Street will be the leader in terms of the next significant upside breakouts. And when might that occur? Probably not this year. Possibly in 2017, in terms of a sustained upside breakout. But again, I go back to the point that before the end of this decade, we should see clear evidence that we are back in an overall bull market, which will be led by technology, cheaper energy, expanding consumer middle classes around the globe, benefiting from the use of capitalism by more economies than we've ever seen in the history of the world previously. I think that's a pretty attractive story overall. The problem is that we've got to live through what's a more uncertain, slow growth, choppy, nervous environment here overall. But hey, it could be much worse. And apologies for a little bit of a choppy fatigue, somewhat fatigued delivery on this audio here overall. I'll hope to be back in slightly better form come next week. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.